Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming out so early for data-filled presentations. Appreciate that. I'm Tim Morse. I'm a professor at the University of Connecticut Health Center. Work with the Center for the Promotion of Health in the New England Workplace, which is headed up by Laura Panette, who's in the audience, and Martin Cherniak at UConn Health Center. And Martin's a co-author on this paper. And this is part of a study on aging and musculoskeletal health supported by NIOSH. The static posture and the kind of issues around this paper aren't one of the primary aims of the study, but as a topic that I've been interested in. So I wanted to explore some of the data that we were getting from the project in relation to posture and static posture in particular. As I was telling Kate, you know, when you submit an abstract in January, you think everything's going to be wrapped up nice and tidy by the time you get here in November, and it's hardly ever that way, and it wasn't in this case. So what I'm going to be showing you are kind of the different elements that kind of move around with static posture and postural issues and all the interrelationships. And my wife said that it was an interesting choice of words that I said that static posture has a lot of moving parts, but that's in fact what it is. There are a lot of interrelationships that I think are going to take some more detailed research and some more detailed analysis. This is a prospective study, so we'll be getting some time two measurements and so on that we might be able to get some more definitive answers around this. So just some background on posture and movement. Lower back pain, one of the most common work-related conditions. Lower extremity pain is much less studied, but also very common. The systematic reviews that have been out there haven't really supported the relationship between prolonged standing and walking and lower back pain. And then there was also an analysis by Hartvigsen on low back pain and a critical review looking at sitting in sedentary jobs and found that there wasn't consistent information supporting a relationship there. But there are both biological and laboratory plausibility for static posture's relationships to this. And a lot of the measurement has had some real problems. So, for example, the reviews that Hartvigsen did was looking at like if people who are sitting for 4 hours or more as opposed to people that are sitting all day. And so, you know, kind of the amount of static posture and that kind of level of detail wasn't there. And the measurements and the questions that have been asked have just not been very detailed. So we tried to do some work with that in this study. There are really three main variables that go with sitting and standing in relation to posture. One is the mobility, the time spent walking, and the distance moved. So are you standing in one place? Are you walking, you know, from here to here? Are you walking and doing extensive walking? The second is constraint, the ability to choose your posture. So, you know, if you're in a service sector job and a cash register, you might have to stand in the same place for 8 hours a day, essentially, while you're operating a cash register and don't really have any choice about whether you're sitting or not, versus you might be able to choose. And then the duration of those static postures, which is kind of connected to the other two, but a little bit distinct. There was a 1998 Quebec Health and Social Survey that was pretty extensive population-based survey, nice sample. And this was cross-industry, found over half reported standing as a main posture, and less than 20% of those could sit at will, so that there was a lot of constraint in this Canadian survey. And, you know, that was associated with women, younger workers, lower education, and associated with handling heavy loads. For those who stand, 43% by the way they measured it, but they really had they were kind of combining variables in the way they asked these, so it was a little hard to separate those three issues that we just talked about. They did find elevated percentage of pain in people who were standing in a fixed posture, and also those that were moving long distances compared to those who were sitting. Layered on to that is the aging workforce and kind of the different jobs that are associated with standing and sitting. So on the left of this graph, you can see odds ratio for all these different kind of conditions. This is from Holstrom's study. Less than 25 years of age, 25 to 29, 40 to 44, you see it start increasing. 55 to 59 starts increasing a lot. You can see that, you know, in the shoulder, lower back is increasing here. And so you see, you know, a real trending as people are age for complaints about that. And then there are differences in relation to occupational groups, so office workers versus foremen, plumbers, drivers. So you have all these interrelationships in relation to posture and movement. Our survey was six small manufacturing companies. There are about a little under 800 workers that answered the survey part of it. We also did some physical measurements. I've got a slide or two on that, but we're still in the process of kind of pulling that analysis together. These are basically Cybex measurements of leg power and other power relationships. We also did path observations on 195 of these, the folks that answered the survey. Path is posture, activity, tools, handling, if I'm remembering the acronym correctly, developed at UMass Lowell, and is an observational kind of checklist based on time. So it's observed posture. So we had there were about 30 observations of these checks per subject, so quite a lot of detailed data there. We tried to do some data logging. We were able to get data loggers that were working for upper extremity, not for lower extremity, for this particular study. So we're moving to pedometers for the next aspect of this, I think, but don't have that data for this presentation. We tried to capture a lot of different aspects of this in a short number of questions. So, and somewhat overlapping because we were using a couple of different instruments. But we asked people how much standing and walking from always sitting to always standing or walking. Their average amount of physical activity, so are they doing heavy manual work? How much do you step and walk when you're standing, so percentage of time? Can you decide when to sit or stand, so that volition part of it. And then stationary sitting and stationary standing. And then the path observations, which for this we merged into stand, walk, sit, and other. And most of what I'm going to be looking at are the standing and walking compared to sit. So this is self-report. You can see a really quite even distribution from always sitting over here to always standing. This is half and half, which you can see kind of drew from the 40 and 60 pretty obviously, but you know, very nice pattern across it. But job type, it's a little bit different situation. So these are administrative workers. These are production workers, and you can see, you know, kind of an inverse relationship of, you know, predominantly sitting to predominantly standing. Gender, you know, is certainly tied into those positions, and we see also that same sort of characteristic: male workers more standing, female workers more sitting. By age is a more complicated analysis, but you can see none of these were significant, but you can see sort of this trend of the half and half increasing with age, but you know, none of these were significantly different, so kind of a mixed pattern by age in terms of usual posture. We compared the self-report to our path observations for that subsample where we did some path. And there was pretty good agreement in terms of percent of time standing, as you can see here. Although, as we'll see later, when we started comparing it to some outcome variables, the path actually was more powerful than the self-report. So we probably still are missing something from these questions as we're looking. And this is another path. So this is while you're standing, what percent of the time are you walking? This is comparing the path to the self-report. And you can see here there really wasn't great agreement. You have kind of this 25% of the time and 50% of the time as distinct from 75% of the time and constant movement. But really it's not a great consistency for those questions. When we start asking about pain, we combined foot and knee pain, and then we also looked at lower back pain. For administrative workers, by age, you can see foot or knee pain has this trend pretty consistently. For production workers, it's more flat. For age and back pain, you can see like a really different constellation here. So back pain's increasing with age, whereas administrative workers, it's actually a slight decline or a little less than level. And then if you look by primary posture, you see this interesting U-shape curve for people who are predominantly sitting all the time, predominantly standing all the time. Those with a mix reported a much lower and statistically significant lower amount of back pain. For knee and foot pain, a different pattern. So really more the same for that. Then when we start looking at the postural constraints, so this is the hours sitting. So this is kind of looking at the length of time that people are sitting. And this is the knee pain and again, not a statistically significant trend, but you can see kind of a pattern of increasing with hours. And this is hours standing by knee pain. This is over 8 hours. This is actually a pretty small category in terms of numbers of people that were responding to that. This is one of the outcome measures in terms of leg power. So this is peak leg power in watts by posture. These are the people who are always sitting. These are the people who are always standing. And you see kind of this pattern of at the edges of the power being lower and in the middle being higher. When you look at it, when you break it out by gender, this is the leg power for males who are predominantly sitting. And for this, we took those three categories, the mix of sit and stand, and the stand, and we took out the middle category. So we're just we compared those who were in the predominantly sitting and predominantly standing, and took out that middle mixed category for contrast. And you can see that the power that the leg power was much higher for males who were sitting, and a little bit higher for the females that were sitting. We did a regression looking at this entering with gender, age, sit versus stand, again without the middle category, job type, and body mass index. And the job type dropped out in terms of the leg strength, but age was negatively related to the leg strength. Standing was negatively related, so sitting had more strength. Female was negatively related, and BMI was positively related, so higher BMI had slightly higher leg strength. When we compared back pain, the PATH percentage time standing was negatively associated with that, but self-report wasn't, so you can see the significant relationship on the PATH. And I double-checked this and took only those that were in the PATH sample to see if the self-report was, and also it was non-significant for that subsample. There were no significant associations with near foot pain in terms of percentage standing, percent time standing. And one of the things we're looking at in this study is the workability index, which some of you may be familiar with, and one of the key predictors that asks is, are you likely to leave your job in the next 2 years due to health? You can see that this is taking neutral agree or strongly agree versus disagree and strongly disagree. And this very strong pattern of increase, I mean, for those who are always sitting, but then really jumps up for people who are predominantly standing in posture. When we looked at this with a logistic regression, only the gender and the sitting-standing were significantly associated. So age and tenure and BMI weren't related to that question of, do you think you're likely to leave your job in the next 2 years? So to wrap up, you know, this was a reasonably large sample from multiple manufacturing work sites. The weakness, of course, is that it's manufacturing only. So when you look at, like, the Quebec study, they're looking at a lot of service occupations and a lot of varying occupations. For example, in our manufacturing, we didn't find that many who said that they could never choose whether to stand or sit. You know, so there were some constraints, but not as much, I think, that is in the Quebec survey. We did have multiple measures of posture, including observation. We had some physical assessments of strength. Weaknesses, this is still a preliminary analysis. This is really an exploratory project that I'm working on with this. The cross-sectional measures at this point, we will have some longitudinal measures as we go along. And the observations were only for a subset of the survey respondents. And for conclusions, well, one is the obvious one of the moving parts, that these are really complex concepts, and so there are a lot of dimensions and a lot of interrelationships. And postures are closely connected to job duties and tasks, closely connected to gender, less so with age, so you know, not as much with that. And, you know, so one of the things is trying to see what can we intervene on. You know, obviously, you know, the static posture and trying to get a mix of postures in an aging workforce might be important. So that might be a good follow-up, is to look at kind of intervention approaches to mixing that. Self-report seemed to be correlated with observation, but as I mentioned, observation may be somewhat more powerful. Some associations with lower back pain, and likelihood of leaving a job for health reasons. Sitting posture was associated with higher leg power, and this need for kind of prospective intervention studies. So I'll conclude there. Thanks very much.